Keith had told me his brother Leonard had a birthday. See, he turned 85, so good to have him with us this morning. That's a great milestone to meet, and hope the Lord sees fit for me to get as old as Pat, much less 85. So she may be 100. We don't really know. She won't tell the truth. Got your Bibles this morning. Turn to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. And the title of the message this morning is, What Are You Holding Back? What are you holding back? In James chapter number 4, this is a great lesson for us this morning. And I want you to understand that you're holding something back. I'm holding something back. We all hold something back from God. And we'll find that this morning that the reason we hold things back is for our own pleasure. We hold things back to bring us to, it says, to satisfy the lust of our flesh, to satisfy what I enjoy. Most of the time it's what I hold back from God. Because if I let go of everything and had God's will in my life and I truly followed Him, then maybe there's some things I would have to cut out that I really, really think I enjoy. And we know that the Bible teaches that man's way, man thinks his way is right, but the Bible it teaches that the end of that is death, that every man's got a right way they think, but the only way we know is true is thus saith the Word of God this morning. So in James chapter 4, verse number 1 through 10, if you would stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, it says, From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust at war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resist the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. This I want you to listen to this verse. This is going to be one we're going to focus on a good bit. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Father, again, we thank You for this awesome word You gave us this morning. God, we ask that You take this and You apply it to hearts and lives. God, let us apply it to our lives and understand what You're trying to tell us this morning. God, I pray if there be one here that's holding something back. God, that sin that we so enjoy, the sin that we think we can't do without, God, I pray this morning that You take that from them, that You see the only, let them see that they must submit under Your authority, and then everything will be clean. And God, we thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. That verse number 7 I told you we'd be focusing on a good bit this morning. That little word submit. That word submit. Now this is a word that scares us to death as Baptists and scares us to death as Christians most of the time. As this word submit, it scares us to death as husbands. It scares us to death as wives. It scares us to death as employees because we all hate coming under authority. We don't like nobody to be over us. We want to be our own man. We want to be our own woman, so we don't want anybody in authority of us. But according to the Word of God, if you're going to be what God calls you to be, you must submit under His authority. And when you do this, things begin changing in your life. You see, when you submit under the authority of your boss, you have to do things that you might not like doing. You have to do things you normally wouldn't do at home. You may not want to clean the toilets, but the boss says clean the toilets, but guess what? You got to submit to him, or you can find you another job. You might not like digging ditches, but if he says dig a ditch, then you've got to dig a ditch. Whatever he says do, you must have to do it. And there's a lot of area of our lives this morning that God has called us to do away with. He's called us to completely make a difference, a change, when we come to Him and give everything to Him and completely submit to Him. And the problem I think we all have this morning, not just you, but myself included, is we just don't want to come under His authority. If you want to come under His authority, you've got all the instructions right here. And my friend, I promise you, if you'll begin reading this Word of God, you'll find out you have some sin in your life that do not belong there. It does not belong there. You have things in your life that you should be ashamed of, and things you wouldn't want nobody else else to know them. And a sad thing is we all keep this little thing and we hide it up in us and we think nobody knows about it. This is the thing that I enjoy. This is the thing that nobody else knows about. You would have to get my phone. You'd have to get my computer. You'd have to get my my checkbook, or you'd have to do this and that for anybody to ever figure out this sin is in my life. Well, my friend, I want to tell you this morning, you can hide that sin from me all you want to. You can hide it from your wife. You can hide it from your husband. You can delete all the accounts you want to delete, but you cannot delete this from God's knowledge. He's all-knowing, and everything we do, He knows about it. You can't hide it from Him, so you must submit unto Him. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You don't have to submit yourself to me as a pastor or to the deacons of this church, but what you do have to do is submit yourself to a holy God. Submit yourself to Him. This morning, are you willing to come under God's authority? If you're willing to come under God's authority, then you can be what God has called you to be, and that is a Christian, that is a person who is living, thus saith the Word of God. And through living that way, God will begin using you, God will begin making a way for you when you don't understand what's going on. God will bless you in a way that you can't even understand if you submit yourself to Him. It means to put every part of our life under God's control. Every little part of it. You say, well, hey, I've got that handled. I'm in the house of God this morning. I've got that handled. I come on Wednesday night. I come on Sunday. I'm a deacon. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I'm a piano player. I couldn't leave Pat out. I'm all these things, and surely I've got this part under control. But I challenge you this morning, and I would be willing to, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, but I would be willing to bet that each one of us in this building this morning has something in our lives that we would not want to tell anybody else. We have something that keeps us from being completely submitted to God. And because of that thing, we love it and we hold on to it and we just refuse to let go of it. And you tell yourself the same thing that we all say is it ain't hurting nobody if they don't know about it. It ain't hurting this and that. Listen, when we're not completely submitted to God and God's not able to use that life as He so desires, then guess what? You're hurting a whole lost and dying world out there that needs to hear about Jesus. Because if you got that one thing out of your life, maybe God will begin working in you. Maybe God will begin working in me. Maybe God would begin working in our church and the whole world would hear the gospel of Him, maybe through you. But you must be completely submitted. Every little part. Every little part. And you see, men, I'm going to get on us a good bit because it's our responsibility. We're living at a time in history where, if you kids in here, I'm not going to try to be ugly, but I want you to know something. We're living at a time when the statistics say that 7 out of 10 pastors are addicted to pornography. We're living at a time where the men in our communities and in our buildings, even in our churches, many of them are addicted to this sin. And you may say, well, whoa, I don't believe all that. Well, listen, then it's plain. The sin of adultery, the sin of adulteresses, and all of it has always been a sin. It's mentioned in this scripture, and it's what's holding churches, I believe today, down more than anything. I believe it's more prevalent than any other addiction inside our churches. There's no doubt there's people with all kinds of addictions in our buildings and inside our churches and in our congregations. We have all kinds of different addictions, and you know yours, and I know mine, and we all know this thing. But listen, that one of pornography is one that is keeping God's men from being what God has called them to do, and men will not relinquish it. They will not get help. They will not turn from it because they think it's hurting nobody but myself. And it's not. It's destroying the church. No, nothing can do it. I know God's got the church in the palm of His hand, and nothing can pluck it out of there. But listen, this sin, and men that's not completely submitted unto God. And you can have every part of you submitted unto God with this one part, and guess what? You are not submitted. You can have every part of you. You can be the best Christian that show up at church and do everything you can do, feed all the hungries and feed everything and do all the charity work out here in the community. But if you're not completely 100% every part of your life submitted unto God, then you are not living the way this Word of God teaches you are to live. And boy, that ain't fun today. You stand and preach that in most places, you'll be what we've got this morning, a few people. But guess what? It is the Word of God, and it's not going to change. You see, we want to give a God enough of our life to make us happy. We want to give God just enough of our life to say we checked the box. To say that I'm this or I'm that. That's how much we want to give God. We're scared to death of completely giving God full control of our lives. We just cannot let go of every single thing. So again this morning, what are you holding back? What are you holding back? You see, we give God everything. I've heard people say, well, I've decided today that I'm giving God this. I see people that say they're dealing with cancer and they say, well, I'm just giving it to God. I see people that's dealing with the other addictions and they'll say, well, I'm just giving it to God. Listen, that's great, that's fine, and that's perfect, but I wonder today how many truly are giving every part to God, or are you holding back something that brings them pleasure? You see, people will lie to you, even preachers. They'll tell you, they'll say, if you're saved, you're born again this morning, then you will not have a desire to sin. That's a lie of the devil. You still live in a sinful flesh, you still have sinful desires, and you must conquer that through God, through faith, and it's the only way you can. And when you come completely submitted unto God, and you care nothing about the pressure of this world, then will you begin seeing what God can do through a sold-out life. D.L. Moody, y'all have all heard of him. D.L. Moody said before his dying day, he said, it's yet to be seen what God can do through a man who is completely submitted unto him. And D.L. Moody preached throughout all this land and probably England, and all over he preached the word of God. And he preached hard, he preached it straight, and all this. And he said that he still wasn't submitted completely unto God. What about you this morning? Have you got something that you're holding back? Have you got something you're holding on to, you just cannot let go of it? You just don't see how you can make it without it. And my friend, that's why they call it an addiction. You think addiction's real in America? Absolutely it's real. And it comes from the simplest things on down to the harmful things such as meth. The job I'm in, I work closely with a man whose son is addicted to this terrible substance. And listen, it'll cause him to do things that's not normal. It'll cause them to do things that they normally wouldn't do to their families and to their friends and everybody else, because they're addicted to this thing. They must have it. And those of us that's not addicted to it, you know what we say? Well, bless God, why don't they just put it down? Why in the world do they put that stuff in their bodies knowing it's going to harm them? It's the same reason that one thing you're holding back, you cannot let go of it because it brings you pleasure and it brings your flesh pleasure, and you just don't see how you can make it without it. We must submit wholly unto God. There's a great danger when we keep back part of what God desires to have. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 15. Boy, I read this yesterday and it scared me to death about holding back on God. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And by the way, they sold a possession. You realize this morning that the scripture teaches that you're a possession? You belong to God. You have been bought with a price. You have sold your life to Jesus Christ. The moment you receive Him as Savior, you have sold something. You have sold a possession. You sold a possession. Now listen what happened to these men and this woman, and kept back part of the price. His wife's also being privy to it. That means she knew about it. And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Boy, she's done a good job so far, hasn't she? They sold that land, and I can just imagine them driving down the road if it was in today's time, and they're on the way to the house of God, and the wife said to the husband, are you going to tithe on that money we got out of that land? He says, yeah, but I don't know if I'm going to give full 10%. I don't know if I'm going to give a full this much. I tell you what I'll do. I'll give this much, because that's really what the church needs anyway. I believe I know what they need, so I'll just give this little bit. And listen, we're going to see that the dangers in holding back from God. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Do you understand what just happened? What just happens this far in these scriptures is a man and woman sold a piece of land. And I mentioned when you receive Christ, you've been bought. You've sold a possession. And listen, you're in danger of keeping back part of that, as these people was. Why did they keep back part of it? because they had plans to bring them pleasure. They kept back part of this price because they was going to buy more land probably. Or they was going to buy a new car. Or they was going to buy this. Or they was going to buy that. They kept back part of it for their own lust and their own pleasures. Well, why this morning are you holding back part of your life that God desires to have? And the reason you are is because it brings you pleasure. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. You think she'd been out spending part of that money? I believe she'd been to the mall. And she came back with all those bags and said, "Where's Ananias?" And Peter answered and said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yeah, so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." Now listen, I'm not telling you this morning that if you hold back part of what God has given you in your life and what God has blessed you with, which listen, when he bought you, he gave you a brand new, he made you a brand new creation. And he desired that creation to be in complete fellowship with him. And any sin in our life is separating that fellowship with God. And what God desires is a complete 100% sold out person, which is you. And when you hold back, I'm not saying God's going to kill you, but what I am saying is God can do what he wants to do to get back what is his. He can. These man and woman was struck down. They was buried that same day because they lied about what they had lied about giving back to God, about a part what belonged to him. This morning, you're not your own. You belong to him. And when you hold back, guess what you are? You're a thief and a robber. People say, "Well, I'm not a thief." If you steal from God, you'll steal from anybody. You're holding back from a holy God, and he knows it. And listen, he's going to get what's his. If you'll notice in those scriptures, and I didn't have to put that down, but if you'll go on forward from verse number 15, you'll find out something that says that fear had come upon all these people. They heard this thing, they saw it, many of them, and they heard how God had really worked in this, how he had struck them. They died just that moment. And it said fear come about them. And you read on, it tells that people come to know the Lord through this thing. What am I saying? That when God desires to use you, the glory that you are to bring him is going to happen one way or another, and it may be through your death. It may be through your struggles. It may be through your trials, but listen, God is going to get what he desires to have. Will you not hold it back from him? The dangers of holding back from God. It ought to scare us to death, knowing that we are his, and we've got something in our life that we just refuse to give him. You just refuse to give him that thing. I just ain't going to do it. So we are to submit. And I stayed on this one a long time, and I meant to. Secondly, we are to resist. We are to resist. Stand against is what that word means. We are to stand against. The B part of verse 7. Resist the devil. Stand against him. Don't give in to him because, listen, he is the most conniving thing that has ever been made. And yes, God made him, and that's God's will. God knew exactly what he was doing. God knew exactly what Satan would do. But listen, he is the most cunning thing that's ever been made. He's slyer than any fox. He's sneakier than any snake. He can get in anywhere just like an old rat can. Have you ever seen anywhere a rat couldn't get in? Hey, you can go to the very finest palace in the world, and guess what? I promise you they have mice. You can go to the best house in Heflin. I promise you they've either got a mice or a bug or something in that place. Why is it? Because you just cannot keep them out. And this old snake right here, he is the most subtle thing that he's ever been. He's a liar. He's a father of lies. And guess what? He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. And the only way that you cannot fall into this is to stand against him. Stand against him. You see what happens many times. We'll say we're standing against him. But if there's a certain thing that tempts us, we may be by ourselves and we'll turn the TV on or the computer on or you may have to go to a place to get what tempts you or whatever it is, but we'll put ourselves in a position where we think we just got to be around it a little bit. We may flip through a channel and it catches our eye and then we go on to something else and it just begins working in our minds. And before long, it's come a temptation we just cannot handle. Then it becomes lust, and after lust comes sin, and after sin comes death. And what we should do is when we pass that channel, or we pass that thing, we should do away with that if it tempts us. It tells us it's better to enter heaven with one eye. It says if I offend you, pluck it out. It's better to enter glory with one than not enter. But we put ourselves around the temptation. We say that God will deliver us, and yes, He can deliver you, but listen, you are to resist. When you do that, that is a personal action that you must take to stand against the devil. The problem is we tend to stand with him. We tend to stand with him. We put ourselves in positions. I told you I work in a situation where a guy's son deals with addiction. And you know what? We say the same thing every time. When we begin talking about it, if we can just get him out of this area. Yes, you can find drugs anywhere in the United States of America. You can find any sin anywhere in the United States of America. But we all know where that thing is that tempts us. And my friend, today, if you truly desire to be submitted unto God, and you are submitted unto God, then the only way you can do that is resist the devil. Stand against him. You see, for the devil to fight against God's work, he knows he's defeated, but for him to do anything, you have to let him in. He cannot come in. He cannot come in as God. God is omnipotent. God can be anywhere at any time. Satan cannot. He is not God. God is in full control. God can control whatever he wants to, and Satan is not. If Satan gets in there, you have to let him in. That's why it says resist him. Stand against him. When he tries to get in, you say no. And listen, by the way, when he comes to you to try to get in, that doesn't mean you sin at that point. When you sin, when you open the door and let him in. Hey, he come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that? And said, you can have all this stuff if you'll fall down and worship me. And what did Jesus tell him? He said, get away from me, Satan. Get away, because the Word of God says this. How do you resist the devil? The same way Christ did. You get in the Word of God. You get around God's people. You get around God's Word preached. God's Word's taught. The only way to resist him is to be fully submitted to God. That little place that you are refusing to give God, because of pleasure it brings you, is the dwelling place for Satan in your life. That's Satan's house. That place in your life you just will not give him. That place in your life you say, well, that's my personal time. When nobody knows, I do this. When nobody knows, I do that. You know what that is? That's the dwelling place in your life where Satan is at rest. He's there. He's just waiting for you to come on in. You've let him there. You say, oh, how did I get in this position? You open the door and let him in. The same way the fall of man happened. Eve had to take that fruit and take a bite. Knowing completely what God had said, she still did it. Me and you today are no different. We know exactly what it is. When I'm preaching this right now, each one of you know exactly the place I'm talking about. You can be more self-righteous than me if you want to, but I know my place, and you know your place. It may not be an addiction. You may have other sin. The Bible says if you hate your brother, it's the same as murder. It says if you look over a woman to lust after, it's the same as adultery. We all have sins. We all have that place in our life that we just refuse to give God. Resist the devil. Stand against him. And he will flee from you. Whatever it is, that thing that gets you. And you know you've been there. If you can just learn to say no one time. I think they say it takes 21 days for something to become a habit. If you can just stay away from it for this period of time. Your mind begins changing. And by the way, I've read a lot on this subject because I think it's one of the things that, as I mentioned it in preaching already, is destroying the church, this thing of pornography. The dopamine it produces in your brain is way higher than it's produced by cocaine. And what happens is your brain becomes trained to that feeling. It becomes so strong that you cannot resist it. You don't feel you can resist it. You don't feel you can do without it. And as you do this, and as time goes down, guess what? After about a few days, they say it becomes hard. After about 20 days, it becomes real hard. harder. And after a certain time, it begins going the other direction. It begins fading away. As you begin resisting this sin, it begins fleeing from you. It begins running from it. Listen, the dangerous thing is, they say that even one look back can take the whole process and put it back at the starting point. That brain desires it. It's a chemical thing, as any other addiction is. Resist. That word flee means to run away. Run away. How many of you run away from sin? Sad thing is, we run to it most of the time. You are to run away. It's telling you to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will run away from you. He has to. He has to get out of there. He cannot stand where God tells him to go. We have to let him in. So what are you holding back? How you keep from holding back is being completely submitted unto God. And you resist. And then you must come close. Number three, you must come close. Verse number eight. Verse number eight. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw nigh. That means, if you look it up in the original Greek and Hebrew, it's very simple. It means come close. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. You've heard it preached for years. You've heard people say it. You've heard Sunday school teachers probably and Bible school teachers. You as close to God as you desire to be. And honey, that's the absolute truth. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And now listen, I'm fixing to show you something that's going to happen when you come close to God. When you come close to God, it's impossible as you come close for that sin to stay there. How do I know that? Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. First you come close to God, you desire to be in his presence, and then those sins will begin to go. Then that place that you've had hid, that nobody knows about, that thing will be done away with, and God will take up residence in that place. Think about this. All the time that's spent on that sin, whatever it is that gets you, all the time you spent on this thing, what if you spent that towards doing God's work? All the time that you spend and the efforts and the monies and all this thing. By the way, it seems like I'm just preaching on pornography this morning, but it's $1 billion and $1 billion. How many billions of dollars a year? A business. And you say, well, that's in California. No, it's not. I got a friend who went to the airport in Anniston, and him and his friend was flying in a little personal plane down there, and they said that there was a big, nice, fancy Learjet looking thing over there. Nicest airplane on the property. And he asked his buddy, he said, man, what does that guy do for a living? He says he owns a pornography website. Billions and billions of dollars a year. Man, this thing is serious. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. My friend, that's talking to God's people. Double-minded. You know what a double-minded man is? He's unstable in all of his ways. He's not completely for the devil, and he's not completely for God. He's double-minded. The Bible says you cannot have two masters. You'll love one, you'll hate the other. As our kids was growing up, I can't tell you how many times I heard this. And I'm not going to call a name, but she was our oldest daughter. Her thing was always, I can change them. We'd say, stay away from so-and-so because I ain't going to lie to you. If I knew a bad reputation, I don't care if it's your kid or whose kid, I'd say stay away from them. And you know what she'd always say? Yeah, but I can change them. The fact of the matter is that they will bring you down faster than you can bring them up. Yes, you invite them to church. You bring them around the Word of God. But what happens is you begin hanging around them and around a place you don't belong. And before long, you're partaking in the sin they partake in. You're doing the things they partake in. And guess what? Before long, you've even got the reputation that they have. And your daughter's the ones they say and stay away from. It ain't as fun then. Double-minded. A lot of us fall into that today. You say, oh, no. I'm sold out for God. Oh, yeah. If you are, and you've got one little place in your life that God's not there, then guess what? You are not sold out to God. You are a double-minded man. And you're unstable in all your ways. Seemed like we preached about the heart a lot a few weeks back. I told you how guilty I am of saying oh, so-and-so's got the best heart. No, he don't. His heart is no good. Only thing good in us is God. We must come close. Sin will kill. There's no doubt about it. Sin will kill. It's death. You want to think of death, you think of sin. That's what it is. We must realize the thing that we're holding back from God. It may be one or it could be many. You know it. This week, even today, but especially throughout this week, I want you to pay attention to your life and see what thing it is that keeps you from God. That thing that keeps you from being 100% sold out to Him, see what it is. I promise you, you're going to find something. How do I know? Because many men have said it's still yet to be seen what God can do through a man who's sold out to Him. Great men who are responsible for millions and millions coming to the Lord, they still said they wouldn't completely submit it unto God. It gives me some hope. You must come to God, verse 9. You must come to God. Be afflicted and mourn. It must mean you must become sorry for your sin. Sin is something today that is laughed at. It's laughed at, it's mocked, it's made fun of. We think it's something hilarious. It's just the best thing. Let me tell you how I know that? Because millions and millions of Americans a year travel to Las Vegas, Nevada, and guess what the name of it is? Sin City. And we go to Sin City, and for some reason, men most of the time, maybe some women, but mostly men, think that they can go to Las Vegas, Nevada, they can act like the devil, and nobody will ever know about it. It's hid. They even got a saying, happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No, it don't. It comes home with you. Listen, this thing is serious. Sin is not to be laughed at. It's not to be winked at. It's so serious that God had to give the best thing that He ever had, which is His only Son, to cure it. The sin in your life is nothing to enjoy. We ought to be afflicted. That means we ought to be beat down over it. We'll be mourn. We'll be crying. We'll weep. Let our laughter be turned to mourning and our joy to heaviness. When we realize the sin in our life, it shouldn't be something we laugh at and we say, well, I did get caught up in that, didn't I? Or any of this, or boy, that preacher's crazy preaching all this stuff this morning and all this sin business is not there. Hey, it's in the Word of God. It's completely plain that we must be broken over sin. We must be afflicted and mourn, and our laughter turned to mourning and our joy to heaviness. Are you bothered by your sin? You see, I've been there, and you've been there. We'll do something when we're brand new Christians saved. I remember that day. I remember when I left Concord that morning, I had to go tell Mama what I had done. I had made a decision to follow Christ. I had to go tell her. I had to tell everybody. I went to work. I remember I was working with a Christian guy in a warehouse, and that he walked in Monday morning. I had to tell him that I had been saved. And guess what? I was on fire there for a little bit, and all of a sudden, this sin would begin again creeping in. And you'd partake of it a little bit, and boy, you would feel the most guilt you could ever feel. The Holy Spirit would smite you over it. You would be broken. You would swear you were never going to do it again. And guess what? It comes back. And then you become a little numb to it. And then you become a little bit more numb to it. And then you do it again. And guess what? Before long, you even got yourself convinced that it's okay. In many ways we do it. I know old so-and-so is a deacon, and he does it. I know old so-and-so is a teacher, Sunday school teacher. Old pastor so-and-so, he told me he even does this some. So surely it must be okay. And we become numb to sin. Don't think nothing of it. You don't think that's true? You think a bank robber, that was his first stealing? Any bank robber that's in Cleburne County Jail or any other jail, if you ask him, I tell you what he would say. 9 times out of 10, he'd say it started with a piece of bubble gum in a general store. It started with a Coca-Cola at school. It started with a pencil out of the library or whatever it may be. It started with something, and I got away with it, and I felt bad, and I took something bigger, and all of a sudden, before long, I began thinking there was nothing wrong with doing that thing. It becomes a normal act for us. We must come close to God. We must be broken over our sin. Verse 10, we must come humbly. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. That means come lowly, broken. The problem we have today as Christians is nobody becomes broken over their sin. That's the reason there's no power in the churches. That's the reason there's no power of God's people in our communities. And when we are not broken over this sin, we're not humbled enough to come before God. It seems like I preach this all the time. I tell people, if you're building a brand new church, I can tell you how to save some money. Don't put the altar there. Why? Because it's not used any longer. We don't want to come anymore because old sister so-and-so will gossip and tell people I must have done something wrong. Well, old sister so-and-so needs to be down here also because she has sin in her life. If we are where God's called us to be, when we realize sin's in our life, we should be broken. We should come humble before Him and listen. If we'll do this, we got a promise. If we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He shall lift you up. He'll pick you up. I was watching The Thing this morning on TV. I just happened to turn over there on Channel 57, the Atlanta Channel, whatever it is. Creflo Dollar has a little special on there. Never watched it before. I may have seen it once, but never really watched it. I watched it this morning. There was a guy on there who was addicted to heroin. He got to the lowest of low, had a gun pulled on him 3 or 4 times. The guy even pulled the trigger one time, and the bullet didn't hit him. In his very lowest state, strung out on heroin, he went into his sister's basement. He was living with her in Atlanta. And he cried out, God help me. God help me. I receive you as my Savior. I ask you to change me today. That man today went from a heroin addict to preachers all over inner cities to gang members. He was a gang member also. God changed his life because he became humbly before Him and cried out for help. You see, many times when I preach, or anybody else preaches, or anybody else teaches, it ain't got to be me. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God that convicts. When we become enlightened of that sin, a lot of times we go right out the door with it. Have good intentions to change. We get out the door, our mind gets off of it. We never do anything about it. Monday, we start the same routine. By Friday, we're back where we started from, in the same sin. This morning, what is holding you back? Whatever it is that's keeping you from God, it's not worth it. Whatever it is that's keeping you, it may be one thing, it may be many things. You know what it's causing in you? Listen to this. Chapter 4, I didn't put this on the guy's paper. Chapter 4, verse 1. Listen to what's happening. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You ever heard anybody say, it feels like a war is going on inside of me? It feels like I know to do good, but yet the evil, I just want to give it, I just want to get into it. The answer is in verse 1. It comes from the lust of our flesh that we haven't resisted. This morning, as we all stand, as Pat comes forth, what are you holding back? What sin is it that is so important, that is so fun, that it just means everything to you, that you just cannot let go? Is that thing, I want you to think about this as she begins playing, is this thing more important to you than God's will in your life? It can be something simple. It can be something that's not what the world calls bad, but if you know it's not right with the Lord, then listen, that's the thing you need to get out. What is it this morning that you're holding on to? You see, you're supposed to be holding on to the Lord. But if you got something else in your hand, you can't hold two things at once. You can, but you ain't going to have a good grip on either one. What are you got so attached to that you just cannot let it go? I know this message wasn't given to me for no reason. I didn't know this few people would be here, but I do know the Word of God does not go out in vain. If you're here this morning, it is for you. Don't say, well, so-and-so need to hear that one. This is for you. We all have sin. Will you let it go this morning? Will you turn this thing loose and be what God has called you to be? Resist the devil. You say, well, I just can't do it. It says if we resist, he will flee. He'll have to go. He cannot stand when God's around. Will you become completely submitted unto God this morning? whether you're a teenager, an adult, an older adult, whatever age you are, will you become submitted unto Him this morning? If you will, it'll change your life. It'll change this church. It'll even change this community if you'll become fully submitted unto God as she plays.